It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast on KCIS. And hello there, Mr. Pryor.
Greetings, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Hey, you do a lot of family counseling. You help families going through issues and teenagers sometimes. And you want to address once again the subject of the rise in teen suicide and what's maybe behind this and how to prevent it and so forth.
Yeah, we've touched on this some time back, but the thing that brought this to the surface for me was just reading an article out of, it was the Epoch Times. Actually, they have a section in there for, seems to be mental health has been a trend that they've had recently in this spirit and mind or body and mind section of that paper. But it was on an article written, forget the man's name, but a psychologist or a psychiatrist talking about what's behind the dramatic rise in suicide. And as per typical with a lot of these articles, whether it's Psychology Today or Christianity Today or any of these articles where they're bringing out mental health kinds of things, they tend not to get very far beneath the surface, which I find not satisfying, a little frustrating for me, because I like to take things down to like a lowest common denominator. And so I like these articles. They kind of sharpen your wit a little bit, or your thinking. They're challenging. But I want to dig into this a little bit, because I think that's always a question for parents, and more so now maybe than ever before in our society. When I talk to so many Christian parents, and have had some personal experience here too, where you kind of raise the kids in the way that you think is a godly way to raise them. As parents, we do our best, and then they always seem to go a little bit sideways, or they often seem to go a little bit sideways, and then you find parents just, stressed out about the state of their kind of the children's lives, and some of these get quite serious, actually. Get into a lot of the sexual confusion and denying the faith. And so I know a lot of the parents listening to me, this is kind of a current event for you. So I want to get into it a little bit. And I want to, in this show and the next week, we'll have another show, and I kind of want to wrap them up the same way, if I can get around to it, and really emphasize some of the things that Christians, I feel Christians need to be doing, now putting our steering in this direction, getting our kind of ducks in a row, so to speak. But so this article was, one of the statements that is kind of highlighted here. Most kids who contemplate suicide are reacting to an in-the-moment feeling of no way out. So that was the first thing that kind of struck me. No way out, I thought, or no way in. Out of what? I think it's more of children wanting to know, how do you get in? How do you get into a meaningful life? Where does life become meaningful? Where does it have a purpose? And of course, we've lost that in our society. This article brought out a number of things as I went through it with my highlighter. And again, there were surface issues, really, but it's like more stress in society today, an environment of anger, exposure to violence, more drugs, media visibility and social media and those kinds of things. And let me just unpack a few of these. We talk about more stress. They're talking about stress in the family or stress in social circles. Community connection, they say, is supports or kind of wards off is a buffer against suicide. Now, that kind of begs the question, though. It's almost like damage control, which if you look at, as we go through these quickly, you'll see that a lot of it does feel like damage control, and that's just not good enough. We don't, it's like we're behind the eight ball. We're trying to catch up. We're behind the power curve a little bit. More stress in the family and more stress in social circles, this article is saying, is one of the causes of, you know, increased teen suicide, but it doesn't get around to what do you do about that. And another one was an environment of anger and division and frustration, abuse and neglect leading to suicide. But we've always had anger and division and frustration and abuse and neglect. So, and you, I guess we could ask the question, why are those things escalating? Why is anger escalating? Why more division? Why more frustration? Certainly, for some people, that leads to suicidal ideation. But where are those things coming from? The next one was that I picked out of the article was exposure to violence. And they're talking about, one of the things they pointed out was access to firearms. And I thought that was a kind of an interesting, because it's almost as though you could say then, the many bridges that are being built is sufficiently explains why people are jumping off of them.
Right.
That's not a good enough answer.
No.
Just because there's a means available doesn't explain the motivation. And so we need to even dig deeper. Another one was there's more drug use now and more powerful drugs. And he said we need to talk to kids about these things because they're part of their world.
Drug use, but also drugs that they're taking for depression mm-hmm. have the side effect of possibly sometimes in making people feel more suicidal.
Yeah. And while we're on that, the drugs for these different medications, we get on them innocently enough. People are concerned about their kids. We don't have answers for the kids. My daughter, my son is saying, well, I'm depressed. And I try to talk to my teenager, and I don't seem to be getting anywhere. I want some kind of an answer. I'm worried. And so we say, okay, we're going down to see the doctor. And we go down there, and we get a medication. And, of course, these medications, they produce some dopamine. They're either a reuptake inhibitor of serotonin, or they increase the flow of serotonin, or they increase the secretion of dopamine, or they block the reuptake of these dopamine. And of course, dopamine is like the body's morphine, and so sure that feels good. And now I'm taking the pill, and you know, I really don't care if it's because of depression and anxiety. It feels better to be on the pill. Well, what I'm missing is the coping tools. Mm. And the other thing is it becomes a very easy way just to self-medicate and get away from the problems. And why would I not do that? If insurance
well, learning, is paying. Yeah, learning how to deal with emotional ups mm-hmm. and downs is part of, growing up mm-hmm. and handling things.
Yeah, which again, you know, leads back to the question of, why is there an increase of youth today that don't just assume that, you know, there's depression, there's anxiety, and the way out of that is the pill? Why do they not have these coping mechanisms? Well, parents didn't have them, and their parents didn't have them. So I think again, it's like we're two or three generations deep into this. Did a show some time back. It's been probably a year or two now, where we talked about how that medications are changing the way we think about our experience about, and even changing the way we think about faith and prayer. So, yeah, you're exactly right. A lot of it is we get into drug use through, you know, because of innocent, we're motivated innocently to do that. It's not all illicit drugs.
Then you got here also social media. This is a huge one.
Yeah, social media and the exposure to talked about the exposure to rejection and negative feedback and bullying. And a couple of questions came to mind on that. First of all, if I'm in an environment where I'm getting negative feedback and bullying, why do I stay there? And the second one is, why are negative feedback and bullying on the rise? Because the people that are bullying that's their way of responding to their insecurities, mm-hmm. and they bully other people.
But there's always been bullying, though. But now it's mm-hmm. just amplified mm-hmm. more. It's just more in your face mm-hmm. and just prevalent, I think. Because people, again, there have always been bridges around. There's always been guns available. Mm-hmm. But it's only recently that young people are killing themselves.
Yeah.
in such large numbers.
Yeah. And I think so. So I was asked the other day by a parent, you know, what is the fascination with death and black clothing? And this has been around for a while. My way of looking at this is that they're looking for the young people are looking for kind of like that ultimate thrill, or really another way of looking at it is that ultimate answer. Where do things really get real? Now, we don't understand death, but we know that it's real. And there's a lot that we don't understand about life, too. But life is more vague. Death seems to be something that's very certain. I don't know what's beyond death, but I know that death is very certain. And that's definitely a wall. And life, but on the other hand, is very vague. And so I think a lot of times when we're saying, you know, is it a suicide a way in or is it a way out? I think it's or no way in or no way out. I think that it's more of if I can understand life and what I know about life, what I'm being told about life doesn't have it's incongruent. It's kind of unapproachable, unattainable, not satisfactory, miserable. Then I don't know a lot about death, but at least it's an end to, if I can't get into life.
Yeah, and it is being glamorized and romanticized by current culture. There's several things, media programs that have glamorized suicide as a solution and a way to get back at everybody. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like the ultimate way to do that. And so it's a real dangerous subject. And I think a lot of it, though, still good. Do you think that kids, has there been any studies on showing kids who commit suicide come from broken families?
A lot of it is.
Isn't that the number one common denominator, would you say?
I don't know if it's the number one, but it's certainly, when you say a broken family, you know, typically we think of one of the parents is out of the home for some reason.
Yeah,
because but there are families that are broken where both parents are in the home, very dysfunctional.
But I just wonder if that's more, that's like the number one common denominator, because divorce used to be very rare in culture, but now it's almost second. Everybody's got four parents, and you know, and I just think it just contributes to the insecurity that young people feel in today's culture.
It does. Let me just read off some of, after I read this article, and I just kind of put together some what I think are the underlying issues. And so let me just read these off. I've got about a half a dozen of here. Yep. Certainly there's hopelessness. And the question is, in what would they hope? They in order to have hope, and the article spoke about hopelessness, but there's a sense of speaking about hope where, you know, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow, or I hope I get that job. But that's not the kind of hope that sustains. Hope that sustains, you have to have a hope. You know, I have a hope that the sun will rise tomorrow. That doesn't mean it might not rise tomorrow. It's certainly going to rise, and that's my hope, you know. Or I have a hope that of eternal life, but that's not the same thing as saying, you know, might have, might not have. That's my hope. And so you have to have a hope to fix on in order to have hope. You have to have a hope. And I don't think young people have a hope. That somehow has not been provided. So they have a sense of hopelessness. They have a sense of lostness, because I think there's, in our society, they don't see a definite direction or a definite reason. And a lot of this has to do with the education system. History's being rewritten, Common Core curriculums, you know, it's like the kaleidoscope is being spun, and what's up and what's down, what's right and what's wrong. They're basically confused. No absolute truth. Again, the whole confusion of gender and history rewritten, and these things, they must strike young people as totally incongruent, and yet the adults are saying this is true, but it doesn't seem to be true. So if what seems to be true is said not to be true, and if they're told, like even recently read about this California curriculum for K through 12 now, where kindergartners are now going to be taught that there are many genders, third graders are going to be taught about masturbation. Other, you know, higher grades are going to be taught about birth control, those kinds of things. They feel unsafe. They feel alone, abandoned. Imagine what abortion and pedophilia the okaying of those things say to young people? What does it say to young people? What does abortion say to young people? Doesn't that question the value?
Absolutely. They
feel powerless. They don't have a voice. There's no one that they can appeal to because they can't trust adults. And finally, frightened, just fearful, and no one to trust. Those are some, I think, of the underlying things, and I think we're two or three generations deep. We'll take a break here. When we come back, just going to mention a couple of other things and then go into hopefully some things that can be encouraging for parents coming around the corner here.
Okay. Yeah. Sound Mind broadcast this week looking at the subject of teen suicide, maybe some causes, and in the second half here, maybe some ways to help. If you've gone through this in a family that you know of, maybe in your family, maybe you're concerned about the young people in your life and where they're headed and how to maybe head this off. Daniel would love to help you. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. You're going to find a lot of these radio shows podcasted there for review. If you hear something interesting and you want to go back and hear it again, that's at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at the subject of teen suicide, maybe how to prevent it, maybe some more issues of what's causing it. Daniel, you've done quite a bit of study on this subject.
Over the years. Yeah, and of course, the counseling, you obviously you have to get into these kinds of things, and that's the most people don't spend their time thinking about why we think and how we think, so counseling can be a good thing.
I would think suicide, I mean, that's like the ultimate, the final solution of anger and depression, and that would be central to something you really want to prevent, both in adults and certainly in teenagers, and looking at how to prevent it.
Yeah, it's the ultimate failure, I think, and I don't mean to be cruel to people who are suffering from these things, but they're, you know, we can have life more abundantly, more abundant life in Christ, but we've forgotten how to do that, and a lot of times the families and the churches don't drill into that and get that across to the young people, because most of my clients are Christians, and you know, we struggle with these things too. It does have to do with worldview, which is very fundamental, and we have in our culture, a very fragmented and untrue worldview. I think kids get this sense of a very paste patch rationale and worldview philosophy, very incongruent, very confusing for them. It doesn't give them a sense of security and safety. So many different ways, so many different kinds of truths, really the adults in control in the schools and in the government. They see things going on around them, even in government, and it's just very confused and unsettling environment. So I think the question that the young people ask, they need to trust adults. They can't captain their own lives. They don't have the perspective to be able to do that. And I think a lot of times as adults, we just assume that they have a roadmap, like we have a roadmap, or they understand our roadmap, and so we take our hands off and we leave it on autopilot. Not a good idea. Kids are asking, who can we trust? You know, social friends, that doesn't do it. I want to talk a little bit about friendship, building friendship. So when we find friends, we tend to go along something along these lines. We start off with we need to belong to a group, and so we sort of come up to a group, and maybe there's a member within that group or members within that group. We have common interests, And that's about as deep as social relationships go, belonging and common interests. The more common interests, the more mortar there is, let's say, in those relationships. If you stick around a relationship, relationship's going to become serious, it goes a little deeper. It gets down to common beliefs and then eventually down to common or core values. And this is how strong relationships then, almost going the other direction, strong relationships are built on core values and beliefs. And then eventually common interest and affection. But to get down to this core values and beliefs, those are the things that are missing in relationships today. And those are the things that are missing in our society. So I believe that the answer doesn't lie in externals, not damage control, not counselors, not medications, not just externals, distractions, those kinds of things, but they're more fundamental. And so there's a role that the family plays, and in the Christian world there's a role that the church, the community, and the church has to play. Who are the young people likely to trust? And I want to bring certainly there's some fundamental teachings, and then there's an area of affection. This is a little bit of a tangent here, kind of a scenic view, let's say. But I want to bring up, a lot of study is going into the properties of oxytocin. And we've heard a lot about this probably in the last couple years or so. Oxytocin is that feel-good, you call it the love neurotransmitter, so it has to do, like with sexual excitement, but they're learning it has to do with a lot of other things too. When a parent looks into the eyes of a young child and there's a connection there, there's oxytocin is being generated. What does oxytocin do? It does a lot of things. One of the things oxytocin does, and this is like, if you're a parent of a young child, you can get on board with this right away and just realize how important it is for you to have physical touch and close, get off of your cell phone, have this eye-to-eye contact and really this deep caring and communication with your child, because, these things generate oxytocin. The higher levels of oxytocin, those reinforce a positive experience, and they cause us to feel, they grow trust, they grow affection. It grows trust and affection. And the converse is true, that if there are relationships where this oxytocin is not being generated, then we have distrust, lack of affection, more guarded. So you can see children growing up guarded, untrusting, unable to have deep affection. A lot of this has started in the home, where there hasn't been the contact and there hasn't been the time. And as parents, we're busy, true. But there's a lot of things we could cut out. We can cut the phone out. I see so many times parents walking along with their kids, and the kids are looking, young children in strollers, and they're looking out at their new life, and here's the parent on the phone, instead of taking that opportunity to really bond with the child.
And this is forming the brain young age.
It's forming the brain.
It's forming the brain, the oxytocin, good or bad.
And the oxytocin has to do with our memory. So so you can see children that have these closer relationships with their parents when they're young. As they go through in life, they're able to recognize positive and negative relationships, even at a distance, because they're more in tune to what this true affection is, and because it will generate this even in relationships that are just beginning to develop. So
let me ask also, you seem to be emphasizing here a lot of the physical part of this. Obviously, do good words bring oxytocin?
Yeah,
too?
In fact, we had a show not too long ago about being thankful, and so there are a lot of things. I think anything where you feel an exchange of persons, whether it's husband to wife, parent to child, friend to friend, I can sit down with friends of mine and have an exchange, even about the weather. And as we're sitting there talking about the weather, I can feel like a camaraderie or an exchange of persons. And we can do this with our children. We can ask them about their day, and it can be done in a way that's very impersonal and just exchanging data. Or we can actually like flip that switch and just engage emotionally. And yeah, and all of those things have to do with, again, the study of oxytocin is very, it's very new. They're just beginning to understand the dynamic role that this has in the human bonding. Any of these things, whether, you know, just that have to do with that, generate this. There are some other things here that I won't have time to get into having to do with our faith, but I think that that's obviously, in these shows, Mark, we just wind up scratching the surface.
You've done several shows, though, on this subject that are in your archives.
And again, when you go to BibleBasedCounselor.com and you go off into the podcast, there are like almost 5 years. I think it's getting close to 5 years now of podcasts on lots of different topics. But if people have questions about this, give me a call, and I can refer you to, you know, to a podcast or to an article.
Well, we care about the young people in our lives, and I think you just put give people hug more. That's a real cure-all. Yeah. Start there, maybe. Just hug more and hug often and hug from a young age. Kids do respond to good words, but they also respond, I think, to the physical, good physical feelings.
So. Yeah, and these things, if they get these things at home, you see, this is going to instill the kind of trust that you need when they're teenagers and they're going through these things. You need to be the person that they can trust and go to. I know it's easy to reach out for counselors, and I'm a counselor, and I'm glad to help, but kids want their parents to be the heroes.
Yeah.
And so as parents in this day and age, we've got to step up our game a lot. And if you've got young children, start early with them. Start that bonding process so they'll trust you when they're teenagers.
Okay, well, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Phone number 425-778-6169. And people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, offices in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.